and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I feel I'm under attack again.
Again? Oh, what's happened now?
What I realised this podcast in recent weeks has sometimes become a little bit lowest common denominator in terms of topics discussed at times.
Yeah.
But I was so pissed off yesterday. So pissed off. I opened my front door and right on the mat... right on the doormat that's just outside the front door was the most foul-smelling and disgusting-looking piece of animal doings that I have ever come across. It looked like it had maggots in it.
Oh.
And I don't know what sort of animal is... doing that right by the front door. So I was really annoyed about that. And so I thought, I'm going to have to sort this out because there's flies all over it and they were coming in the house. I don't want flies that have been feeding on that coming in the house and landing on surfaces. So I was really annoyed about it. And again, I apologise for the nature of this conversation.
Normally, well, you know, our listeners have a chance to sort of brace for the descent into the gutter, but it started early today.
Well, because it's becoming an issue. Because I thought, right, I'm going to have to sort this out. I'm going to go and get a shovel from the garden. I'm going to have to shovel this thing up. Open the back door, and by the back door, there are two... deposits.
No.
And they're definitely foxes, I think, in the back. And I think, what is going on? Like, why are they coming right to the door? Now, I've talked about this before, and I know I've had a human deposit things in my front garden in the past. This was definitely animal. But what... It does seem like it's a conscious decision that they are making to do it right by the door. And I was furious. I was absolutely livid. The language... that was coming out of my mouth loudly. I didn't even care who heard me. Ooh. I was absolutely livid. I'm an animal lover. But I tell you what, I wanted to take up fox hunting yesterday. I thought, you know what? Fuck it. Get me some hounds. Get me a couple of snares. And just stop shitting on my doorstep.
You're not even sure it's a fox, and this seems very suspicious to me that both front and back doors have been done.
Wait, yes, but it's got to be... I mean, it could be a cat, I suppose. It could be a cat. But either way, it's an animal that's deciding, oh, we'll just do it right by the door. So there's a real good chance that when he comes out, he's going to step in it. And I'm sick of it, Ben. So I want to find a solution for this once and for all. Now, I read once that you should sprinkle some cayenne pepper down because that really puts them off. And if they go anywhere near it, it might burn their arse. And I'm considering that. I'm considering buying a load of that. I just wonder what else... have you got any ideas, Ben? You know, other than putting up some terrible, inhumane traps, which I wouldn't, because, you know, that's not what I would do. But I feel like it, Ben.
I don't want to advocate, and well, certainly not fox hunting.
No.
I don't... I'm very... like I say, I'm so suspicious that it's on the front and back door. And the fact that you've had a human dirty protest in the past... makes me wonder if someone is targeting you.
But they can't get in the back garden. They can't. And look, without going into detail, what in the back, that's definitely not human. It's definitely fox or cat. But I don't know what it was in the front. It could have been anything in the front. It could have been some animal that we've never encountered before. Because I don't think there's ever been a dropping like it. I think
I should have
put it in a box and taken it to the Natural History Museum and got them to investigate it, because I suspect it's a new species. It wouldn't surprise me if it was alien.
I'm suggesting it could be alien after last week's podcast.
Maybe it wasn't maggots in it. Maybe they were alien eggs. Maybe it was because, you know, there was the meteor shower over the weekend. Maybe one of the meteors fell down and it was carrying the eggs of aliens. Maybe it wasn't droppings at all. It was the eggs, and they were probably in some sort of protective outer layer that just looked like feces.
And you've shoveled it into a bin.
Well, what happened was, I was so angry that...
Have you shoveled them, Trez?
No, and luckily nobody was walking past, because I just sort of, it was quite an aggressive flick with the shovel, and it sort of flew in the air, and luckily it didn't go out onto the path. It sort of hit my wall, and then I moved it and covered it in dirt. But I mean, if someone had been walking by and it had just a couple of centimetres, I could have thrown shit at someone, and that could have caused all kinds of legal problems. But I was furious. I was absolutely furious. Now, why my house? There's something around my house that is attracting these animals, and I looked up how do you stop animals doing their business around your properties, and lots of everyone sort of says the same thing. No, odor repellent, don't leave food out. I'm not leaving any food out. Not putting any food out for the little fuckers. They're having food somewhere else and going, oh, I tell you what, number 99 needs a bit of shit in its front garden. Let's all go there, shall we?
I've got an idea for you.
Go on.
Do leave food out.
I don't know. I'm not encouraging it.
Oh, no, hang on. But leave food at the next door neighbours.
Right. My 91-year-old neighbour, let's pop it in her garden, shall we? So she has to deal with it. Oh, come on, Ben.
Yeah, because better her than you. And then that way, if they're going to come round anyway, then they might as well go next door. So just pop a bit of chicken, you know, under her doormat. She'll never know. And then it's her problem to deal with.
I can't believe the lack of humanity, the lack of respect for your elders that is coming from your lips right now, Ben. I was hoping...
Don't lecture me. She could have got a face full of dog shit if she'd come outside at the wrong time the other morning.
I was hoping for practical solutions, and instead you're trying to get me to pass the buck.
Well, it's an option, isn't it? It would solve the problem. It would stop poo on your doorstep.
Right. I've read citrus peelings might deter the animals, so I could put a lot of like lemon peel outside. But I just, like, on the front path, if I just stick a load of lemon, like in the back garden, fine. But people might think I've gone a bit nuts if they just see me putting bits of lemon out. Do you know what I mean? Because that's the sort of thing that people would, you know, I live in an area where there's a lot of nutcases, a lot of mad people, so it probably wouldn't go really noticed. They'd just go, oh, there's another one. But there will be some people. We'll just be looking and go, oh, he's finally cracked. Like my neighbours who've known me for years. You know those neighbours you don't talk to, but you've all lived in the same street for years. You just see each other. You just see the progression of their lives. Like I've got the neighbours opposite me, never spoken to them in all the years we've lived opposite each other. But I've seen their child grow up. You see them develop. You see them change their house. And they'll be looking out their window and go, yeah. Always thought of something about him, but have you seen what he's doing? He's putting bits of lemon out.
Yeah, I'd rather be the guy who puts the lemon peel out than the guy who's flinging shit about and swearing.
Like I've turned into some sort of baboon. I mean, I'm just going to admit, it's not mine.
I have suggested in the past that you get a cat for your mouse problem, and that, you know, the presence of pets might deter animals from coming near. But although that is a little bit, you know, the man who got the rat that killed the cat, that,
yeah,
you know, all that sort of got the cat. The rat who killed the cat, that would be a big rat.
Rats can take on a cat. I've seen it.
That would be a chunky rat.
Oh, but have you seen the size of some of the rats? Like those king rats? They're massive. They could take on a cat. I've even seen them take on a dead dog.
Rat once. Oh, God, it stunk.
They're vile things.
It was a big boy. You are right. It was huge.
Huge things. And if they get the bit between their teeth, you know, they can take on a cat or a dog even. They are...
Behave. A rat. What sort of dog is being taken down by a rat?
A shih tzu.
A shih tzu newborn puppy. A rat taking on a dog.
Honestly, I bet a dog under a certain size wouldn't take on a rat. They'd be terrified of a rat because rats are vicious animals. Look at those teeth they've got. You don't want to be nipped by one of those. You've got to be quick.
I tell you what, after that horrific video you showed me a few weeks ago on the podcast, you could get yourself a seagull.
A seagull, now they take on... But would they solve this problem? If I had a pet seagull, would that take... The problem with a seagull is they're messy in themselves.
Yes, so not a lot of bowel control themselves, the birds.
If I've got a seagull in the house, where am I keeping it? Is it constantly, have I got one outside the front, one outside the back? Is it tethered somehow to the to the roof? I mean, I don't know quite how we're making this seagull a practical idea. I mean, I quite like the idea of having a seagull.
Well, you'd need more than one as well, because it has to rest. You'd need a sort of changing of the guard, seagull procession.
How many hours on, how many hours off for a seagull?
I don't know what the sort of fair sort of human working conditions of seagulls is, really.
The other problem is, of course, I think a lot of this is happening at night. So would a seagull, because they'd have to be alert. I think it's an owl I need,
night watchman.
Yes, because I think a seagull at night, they're just going to hunker down for the evening, aren't they? Unless I somehow train the seagull to become nocturnal. But its natural instinct will be, oh, sun's gone down, I'm going down. So you need a night. So it's got to be probably an owl is the answer that I'm
looking for. Owl is going to find out who done it.
I mean, I thought we covered bad jokes last week, and I really felt it was time we'd move forwards from this.
We're back on the bird puns. I'm in my element.
I mean, I thought we missed one last week.
Did we?
Yeah, when you mentioned a budget at the end of that whole conversation about Channel 5's budget, we didn't even mention budgie. And I thought there was a pun that we let go there. It's always that thing afterwards. You think, oh, there was a cracking joke we could have done there. You think, we missed it. Yeah, we missed it. It's gone. So okay, I think a bird's not a practical solution. What else could I do?
Well, guns aren't really lawful in this country.
No.
So you're against any sort of natural repellents?
Well, I don't know whether they really work, do they? I mean, you know, repellents for animals. I mean, we've bought the spray that's supposed to keep mice away. It's a kind of minty thing. It doesn't fucking work. You know, I don't know whether these sprays really work. You know, it's like those high-pitched things, because apparently you can get those that you put out to keep foxes away. They deliver some sort of high-pitched noise. I don't know whether they work properly or not.
Well, you're a man who works in audio. How difficult would it be to install some sort of pressure pad under the doormat so that when the fox comes a cropper and takes his little squat, then, you know, it triggers some sort of growling sound from the other side of the door?
But like of a lion.
Well, I was thinking a dog, but
I'll tell you what,
go mental, why not? Have a lion.
I've heard this before. If you get lion manure and put that around your garden, it would deter other animals. That might be the solution, because if a fox is smelling a lion's doings around, they're not going to stick around to do theirs, are they? But you've got to keep a constant supply of lion manure coming, I'd imagine, because it will lose its potency after
also
a while.
Would that work? Because if a fox in Croydon heard a lion or saw lion shit, wouldn't it think, well, I don't know what that is. What the hell's that?
Oh, surely its natural instinct would kick in and go, I know that's a predator.
Would it? I mean, if there was a monster,
yeah,
and it made a noise that you'd never heard before,
yeah,
would you know to instinctively run, or would you think, what's that noise?
I don't know. That's a good question, because if it's a scary noise, like a growl, would you hang around to find out what that was?
But I'm sure all sorts of animals make different sort of attack cries.
Different noises. I mean, apparently hedgehogs mating make quite the racket.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with hedgehogs, but now that you mentioned mating, foxes tend to make quite the racket, don't they?
Yeah, so, but I'm not going to get a couple of foxes just to mate to keep another fox away. That's going to attract it, if anything.
Well, maybe if you had a
live
sort of
sex show for the fox.
If you had a sort of fox ready for action on the doorstep, a bit of a horny fox, then rather than shitting on the doorstep, they'll want to be getting it on the doorstep. And
but I don't know whether in the fox world, like, it might be a way of attracting a mate. You know, animals have weird ways of attracting a mate. And I don't know
this
whether
is true.
For a fox, like, that smell is good. You know, they think, oh, well, I'll have a look at this. I don't know. I don't know how a fox would
In which case, you've made matters a lot worse because you've picked it up, so it's left the scent on the floor where it was deposited.
Yeah, yeah.
You've flung it against the wall, so there's more scent marks there.
Yeah.
Then it's landed somewhere else. You're spreading it all over the shop. It's going to be a war zone.
I know. It probably wasn't a good move, was it? Wasn't a good move. But I've got to try and solve this because it's beginning to annoy me. And it's just, it happens far too regularly. More often than not, the back door, not, you know, the front door, it's happened once or twice, you know, but I don't know what they're coming to the back door for. There's no food source there unless they can just smell, because it's right by the kitchen. Maybe they can smell the wonderful culinary delights that I'm cooking up, you know, that microwave meal that's just putting out that smell. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm a bit at a loss. There is the old Jasper Carrot joke about moles. What's the best way to get rid of moles?
Go on.
Blow its bloody head off. So, I mean, you could take that option. I mean, who's going to notice one more gunshot in Croydon? Oh,
yeah, but then you've got to deal with the bloody mess of a headless fox. And you've got, and the council, by the way.
Well, isn't there still a cat killer on the loose in Croydon? Not to make light of that terrible situation, but I mean, the animals getting mutilated again. Well, you live in a horrible place, by the way. When will you move? But yeah, the council can't, they haven't found that person. They're not going to find you, especially if you're the one complaining about the fox massacring. They'll never suspect you unless they hear this.
Unless I am the Croydon cat killer. Don't know, do we? Not even sure I know. Who knows what I get up to in the middle of the night? If maybe I go out sleepwalking and I see a cat and I think, was it you? Was it you? And I just lose my shit. And then I come home, go to sleep, wake up fully unaware that I've mutilated several.
This isn't going to go down well with animal lovers. They won't even like joking about this. For the record, Trev is not the Croydon cat killer.
Or am I?
Trev, I was after your final word on a few tricky situations.
Well, as you know, I am the man to come to for the answer to most things in life, apart from deterring animals, delivering deposits on your doorstep. But yeah, most things, I'm your man.
Now, there are a few court cases or legal actions being taken, and I thought you are the man who can pass judgment. And I thought we could do it in the style of a daytime courtroom TV show where you could be our judge.
Well, like Judge Judy.
Or Judge Rinder. Yeah.
Okay, so I can be sort of quite aggressive.
You can be, yeah. And I'll be sort of presenting you the case. I won't be necessarily for the prosecution or the defence. I'll just be maybe telling you the gist of the story and maybe some mitigating factors.
Okay, now I'm not going to get done, you know, for contempt of court in real life here, am I?
No, as far as I know, these are American stories or old stories.
Right.
No one really gives a shit about anymore.
Jolly good. That's fine, as long as I'm not going to find myself in a real court of law having to defend myself saying, well, it's Ben's fault. Yes, Mr. Smith, but you took on the role of judgment maker, and therefore that makes you liable for prosecution for contempt of court. I give you 500 years.
I very much doubt that's going to happen. I thought we'd need a decent name for our show.
Right.
Obviously, I have the AI at my fingertips.
Can I just check before we get to that? What level of judge am I? Am I Lord Justice Trev?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't really know what. I think you should be the highest level of judge.
I'm the highest level, whatever that is. I don't know what it is, but that's I've got probably a red gown and a wig on. That's how you need to imagine me.
So firstly, I asked the artificial intelligence, because I was feeling a bit lazy, to come up with some suggested titles for our courtroom drama.
Right.
And I gave it the gist of, you know, it was for our podcast and who we are and that you're to be the judge, et cetera, et cetera. And it came up with a whole list of possible titles. And I've shortlisted, I think, 7.
Here. Right, okay.
And I thought your first judgment in the court should, in fact, be the title of this segment.
Okay, well, the court is in session.
Right, excellent. We'll just go through these firstly. These are all artificial intelligence. So, you know, if you want to slag these off, I will not be offended.
Okay.
That's absolutely fine. Gavel Gab with Judge Trev.
Gavel Gab. No.
Straight no.
Absolute shite. I should be more judge-like now. I should now embody the judge, really, shouldn't I?
Yeah, I don't think many judges say shite.
No, that title is wholly inappropriate in my courtroom.
I do.
Please
like,
remove that name from the list.
Judge Trev has a slight Judge Dredd sort of ring to it, which I quite like. But anyway, with that one's been dismissed out of hand. The next one, Ben and Trev's Bizarre Bench.
Well, to start with, I don't like Ben being first.
Well, I like getting top billing for a change. I like that one. And it's the only one that mentions me at all. So I'm quite a fan of that one.
What was it called? What's the title?
Ben and Trev's Bizarre Bench.
No.
Okay.
Remove that from the courtroom.
Okay, five to go. Trev's Tribunal Tidbits. I mean, it's got alliteration.
Yeah, I mean, I won't do the voice the whole time. It's the best so far.
Okay, we have a front runner. Okay. Only because the other two have been dismissed out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, so far the bar is so fucking low.
Oh, a legal pun there, the bar being low.
Yeah, didn't intend it. It was fucking great, isn't it?
Okay, I think you're going to hate this one.
Yeah.
Right. Justice Jamboree with Trev and Co.
There's so much wrong with that. Jamboree, for a start. But there's nothing in a courtroom that should be described as a jamboree. A jamboree is like a celebration, isn't it? Like the scouts call it a jamboree. It's like a whole joyous event. So anything in a court. And then Trev and Co.
I think the AI has... Well, me, I guess. I did mention me in the description to the AI. It's obviously got a bit of a penchant for alliteration as well with the Justice Jamboree.
Yeah.
But I sensed you'd hate that one.
Yeah, not a fan of that. That's gone.
The obvious problem with the next one... I shouldn't load the chamber. another legal pun. There you go. The Mirthful Magistrate. Now, I did say you were a judge and not a magistrate, but, you know, we're in the legal arena.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I mean, I think it undermines my position.
Okay.
We've already established I'm the highest judge in the land, not a fucking magistrate.
Okay.
I'm not a part-time legalese, man.
Right, so you hate 4 out of 5 of these so far.
And I'm not even keen on the one that's front-running.
Okay. Number 6, Trevor's Chuckle Chamber.
Why have we got chuckle? And again, it's like the same with Jamboree. This is a serious business. It's not like Trev's Chuckle Chamber sounds like it's a joke competition. Okay, it's like an old, like I'm in a court, like a medieval court, and I've got a whole load of jesters coming in. Like, welcome to Trev's Chuckle Chamber. First up, it's the Harlequin from East London. I say, off with his fucking head.
Well, okay, so that's
didn't make me chuckle at all. If anything, you made me cry.
This doesn't bode well for the final one, which is my personal favourite. Trevor's Giggle Gavel.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
I mean, I didn't ask it for alliteration, but it really ran with it, didn't it?
And also, the gavel... The gavel doesn't giggle. The gavel... No. No.
Right. So...
No.
By the theory of...
What have we got?
Well, you hate 6 out of 7, and the one that you don't completely despise...
I hate 7 out of 7, but there's one.
What Trev's Tribunal Tidbits is what we're left with.
All right.
Okay, well, we'll settle on the title another time.
Yeah.
Would you like... you've got 3 cases ahead of you today.
Okay, right.
Right, first in court is a story of a woman who is suing her friend after being dumped as a bridesmaid 3 days before the wedding.
Ooh, right. On what grounds?
On the grounds that the bride-to-be told the now ex-bridesmaid to quit her duties after she got a haircut that didn't meet the bride's strict standards.
Wow. That's a proper bridezilla there, isn't it? There's no doubt about that.
It gets a bit more unhappy as well, because it wasn't just on a whim that the bridesmaid got the haircut. Apparently she was having a bit of a medical issue, which meant that some of her hair was falling out. So she got a bit of a haircut to tidy things up a bit before the big day.
Yeah.
And the bride decided this wasn't on. Now, this gets a bit more complicated in my humble opinion, Judge Trev, where
she's... are not here to offer an opinion, young sir. You are here to deliver the facts, and that is all.
She is suing the bride for £656 after she was forced to leave the bridal party, as we say, just 72 hours before the big day. Now, this is the problem. That sum of money covers the three dresses, shoes, and the alterations made to both of those. Now, all I would suggest to the judge in his deliberations is, why would... fine, I get it. It's a shitty thing to do by the bride. There's no dispute there. Shitty thing to do.
Correct, yes. Well, you mind your language in the courtroom, sir.
I beg your pardon, Your Honour.
For fuck's sake.
Why did she need three outfits and three pairs of shoes? And why were they all requiring alterations? I would just put that to Milud.
Well, presumably... if a bridesmaid has had to have those costumes, and I use the word costumes advisedly, some people would call them outfits. I call them costumes. They are nothing more than a bit of fancy dress, as far as I'm concerned. Unlike my gown and wig, which is, of course, most pertinent to my position. But presumably that's the decision of the bride. The bride has said, right, I need my bridesmaid to have these sets of clothing. Unless the bridesmaid has made that decision for themselves, I mean, at least one of those dresses has got to be the decision of the bride, because they will pick what the bridesmaids will wear. And if there's three of them, and that's what she's claiming against, surely that's because the bride has made those decisions, that those things we need. I would also say, if you're the bride and you are asking that of your bridesmaids, why are you getting them to pay? I'm afraid it's your job to pay for those things, if that's what you're requiring of your bridesmaids.
Oh, I hadn't even considered that. And of course, we don't know who's insisted upon what. This is some... by the way, I've plucked this story from some red top rag from about a couple of years ago, so God knows if what the truth to this story is. But hypothetically, I think you're right. And also very unsympathetic, you know, considering... Now, well, of course, we're not sure if the bride was aware there was any sort of condition that meant hair was falling out. I mean, that's something I can sympathise with, having lost far too much hair in great chunks.
Yeah.
It's not very fun. Should the bride have been more sympathetic? I think that's without question.
Yes, surely you wouldn't question that if you saw someone who if they're a bridesmaid, they're going to be someone that you are close to. You know what I mean? In general, you haven't just picked someone that you don't really know. So you're probably going to know about the health problem. And if you didn't, surely that would come up. Like the moment you mentioned the hair, like even if you were the biggest bridezilla in the world and you've gone, oh, do you know what? Your hair, like the bridesmaid would probably then say, well, I'm sorry, but I've got this. And at that point, the bride should go, well, fair enough. move on.
It's tricky, isn't it? Because they're obviously friendly enough to invite the other one to be a bridesmaid for her big day.
Exactly, yes.
But not friendly enough to not be a complete knobhead when they're going through something a bit upsetting and you should have a brain in your head to not be so fucking clumsy about things.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, even if you'd upset me, I probably wouldn't sue you. So I don't think they were that good friends to begin with.
No, I mean, the idea of suing someone, it's not something I'm particularly comfortable with. But I think in this case that I will make my judgment now, unless there's any more evidence to be presented.
I think that's all I'm bringing to this particular case, because we do have two more to get through. And it will be particularly unhelpful if you're a judge who doesn't like the concept of people suing each other. For this particular feature on our podcast, Trev, that's going to really run it into the ground.
But obviously, it's a point of law that people can sue one another. Whether I'm comfortable with it or not from a personal perspective is neither here nor there.
Thank you.
It is simply a matter of law, and I would suggest...
I thought you were dropping the voice.
Not when I'm doing the big judgment, mate. That's when the voice comes into its own.
Right, okay, carry on.
So you're ruining the whole facade of this thing.
Contempt of court. I'll be kicked out.
Please remove the gentleman from my courtroom. I believe that as heinous as the crime may be, of removing some hair before a wedding without consultation with the bride, I will side with the bridesmaid. And I would suggest that she has been put through a rather traumatic event and shown no sympathy by the bride. I therefore rule in favour of the bridesmaid.
And just to check for the record, was that the full amount? Three outfits and shoes and alterations, the full amount?
Plus £150 costs.
Oh!
And
the costs.
£50 for me.
Right, on to case number two. And this is a story with a twist in the tale, but I would ask you to judge it as it goes. This is a man who was eating dinner with some of his friends in a restaurant, and someone in the booth next to him started to cough and gag. The man then realized his fellow diner was choking and rushed to help him, giving him the Heimlich maneuver, successfully dislodging the bit of food that was trapping this man's ability to breathe properly. And food flew across the booth out of his mouth. Although the man looked quite angry, paid his bill and left. Days later, our hero in question received a letter from a law firm informing him he was being sued for battery. They said he'd bruised a rib of their client, and this left our man perplexed, A, as to why he was now a villain, and also how the mystery man in the restaurant who he'd saved had actually managed to track him down.
Well, sounds rather suspicious to me.
So, at this current point in our story, Judge Trev, can we get a verdict on whether or not our... I shouldn't preempt or you know, nudge you in either direction, but by calling him a hero. But what's our judge's verdict on this potential lawsuit for a man suing someone else for saving his life, potentially, with the Heimlich manoeuvre and bruising his ribs?
Well, my initial reaction is one of great respect for a fellow diner who leapt into action when some fellow diner's life was at stake and knew the Heimlich manoeuvre. How many of us would know that straight off the bat? Not many of us at all, if truth be told. And I feel that he's, so far, with the evidence provided, very unfortunate to be hauled through the courts by somebody whose life had been saved.
Absolutely agree, personally, but it's up to you to judge.
On what grounds is he suing him for? For what, a bruised rib?
The crime of battery is the accusation thus far in our legal story.
Well, if you're going to perform the Heimlich manoeuvre, I would imagine that there will be some bruising as a result of it. It's quite a violent movement. It's my understanding of it. I'm not an expert in the Heimlich manoeuvre, and I'm slightly disappointed that counsel hasn't provided an expert witness to give me some further insight into the physical attributes of the Heimlich manoeuvre.
Well, if you'd like some extra information on the Heimlich manoeuvre, the first point of order, Milad, is that we no longer refer to it as the Heimlich manoeuvre.
Well,
it's
what
referred
do we
to
call
as
it?
Abdominal thrusts.
That
it turns out
sounds filthy.
It turns out Mr. Heimlich was a rather controversial figure who spent a lot of time telling people that they shouldn't pat people on the back or thump them on the back to remove their lodging of whatever was blocking their windpipe, because that would surely kill them. It would lodge it further and they'd be dead.
Right.
This turned out to be medical nonsense of the highest
order. Hogwash!
Hitting someone on the back is pretty much just as good as the Heimlich manoeuvre. It's just that he wanted people to use his famous manoeuvre. He was a bit of an egomaniac, was old Mr. Heimlich.
Wasn't there some story that he eventually got to use it? He never actually used it. It was all kind of theory. Or it was used on him. There was some story towards the end of his life.
Yes, that's right. I think he finally got to use his own manoeuvre towards the end of his life.
Do you
yes.
think he was purposely just shoveling food down somebody?
Yes.
Like, I think in the end, he's like, I will use this before I... I don't know why he's got the same voice as the judge.
Unfortunately, I'd like to remind people, you can't libel the dead.
where was Mr. Heimlich from?
Oh, no, that's a good question. Where was him... How often does the judge ask, you know, for on-the-spot research as to where Henry Heimlich was from?
I would assume that the counsel would have all the information at fingertips, because that is what the brief is all about.
Right, quickly, born in Delaware.
I will force feed you till I get to use my maneuver.
It's the worst. You have no idea if that's anywhere near Delaware.
It's nowhere near America, let's be honest. And I apologise to our American listeners. That was probably highly offensive.
But so you American, are siding.
American, you can butcher without causing too much offence, I think.
Well, we'll just wait to hear from our American listeners what they think about that. So you're siding with the abdominal thruster.
My ruling is with the gentleman who performed the Heimlich manoeuvre and saved a life.
Well, now, do you remember the slight question mark in our story as to how the thrustee had been thrusted upon, had got hold of the thruster?
Stop using the word thrusted in all its forms.
There was a question mark as to how he'd been tracked down.
Yes. Do we have any further information on those facts?
A slight, well, I mean, you've already passed your ruling, which is going to make this slightly complicated now.
I'm a judge. I can change my fucking mind.
What's the sound effect of a gavel banging backwards?
Giggling, I would imagine.
Right. So it turns out that it was a rather spiteful, practical joke. One of the guy's friends, the guy who gave the Heimlich maneuver, all the abdominal thrusts, one of his friends thought it would be funny to send him this legal letter the couple of days later, pretending he was being sued for, I think, $250,000, because he thought it'd be funny to wind his mate up. And he let it go on a bit too long. And I would now like a judgment on whether or not the prank victim, the hero, the Heimlich hero,
yes,
should ditch his friend, or whether or not he should just be able to brush this off as a rather cruel, practical joke.
Wow.
This is now a friendship judgment, no longer a legal judgment.
And therefore, in many ways, beyond my jurisdiction.
But yes, but not for the podcast. I told you how this would work.
However, as this is, whatever it's called, my topical tidbits or whatever name we call it, I shall have to make a judgment. That is the whole basis of this pitch for an afternoon TV show.
There we go.
I find in favour of the gentleman who is our hero. After all, whether it's a practical joke or not, he leapt into action and he provided the thrusting action that we've already covered in depth to save the life. And therefore, I feel it's a cruel joke, and one that I would, as a judge, pass the highest sentence possible against the perpetrators of such a prank.
So hypothetically, just to be clear, if you and I were at a restaurant, you save someone's life with the Heimlich manoeuvre, abdominal thrusts. A couple of days later, I then send you a fake legal letter.
Yes.
I would be cast out. It would be the end of the Trevor and Ben podcast. We would no longer be friends. It would be too cruel a prank.
Communication would cease immediately, and there would be no further communications for the rest of our natural lives. And
the judge.
If there is life beyond this existence, even then, I may cold shoulder you.
Wow, cold shoulder in the afterlife. The judgment is harsh but fair. Wow. And our final case, then, you know, we've saved the big case for last. I'm assuming that's what they do on court TV and all these other things.
I'd imagine so, yes.
Now, I'd like to ask Your Honour to brace for this one, because it could be considered rather shocking.
I'm braced firmly.
This is the story of a man who is wanting to take a company to court. Again, it's our friends across the pond. And, you know, we don't need names in this story. But people will remain nameless for the dignity.
Dumb boy?
For what shred of dignity they may have left. We'll let them keep it. So,
is it Billy Bob?
Is he from Delaware? This is a man who is taking a sex toy company to court. No discernible words there, just uncomfortable muttering.
Something my generation would discuss.
A man went for an MRI scan at a hospital, and during his appointment, when the machine was turned on...
When you say turned on...
when the MRI appointment began... The man suddenly felt an incredible amount of discomfort. And it turns out what's occurred here, Your Honour, is he's gone to his MRI appointment. Oh, actually, Your Honour, sorry, a correction for the record. My client is a woman.
I would suggest that would be something that you would have found out earlier in proceedings, but I will let it slide on this occasion.
I do apologise. I misread the brief.
Really,
I'm fresh out of law school. I haven't put in much attention at this point.
Really is the most unprepared I've ever come across a member of the King's Council.
So, my client, not my client, the woman in question, she has gone to her MRI appointment and she's found herself in extreme discomfort because there's been an incident. She's gone to the MRI appointment with what can only be described as a butt plug.
Oh, dear.
In place.
God.
Well, she's corked.
Well, one can only assume, and I'm sure the information will be forthcoming, but I can only assume that because it's an MRI scan, that there must be some metallic makeup of this particular foreign object, because the magnetic force created by the MRI would presumably be causing the discomfort. I just want to set the record straight on those matters.
I should stress at this point in the proceedings, Milad, just for everyone's general sense of ease going forward, my client is okay. Alive and well.
Jolly good.
The core of said butt plug was metal.
Can we please use the phrase foreign object?
Anal receptacle?
No, foreign object, I think, is the phrase I would prefer to be used in my court.
The core of the foreign object was metal. And I'm going to read from the transcript here, if you don't mind. When the MRI machine was turned on,
yes,
the foreign object,
yes,
was sent at the speed of sound into my client's chest cavity.
The speed of sound?
Yes.
I mean,
it described in the memo.
I'm sorry, I'm out of character now. That could do some damage. Did it break the sound barrier? It was like a sonic boom.
Described.
Well, like people in the area phoning up, like the local air force. Going, we're reporting a sonic boom, but there doesn't seem to be any planes about. Oh, it was a butt plug moving at twice the speed of sound.
Described in the. This is.
Can I just say it sounds jolly fun?
This is in quotes. This next bit described in the memo as an ale rail gun.
Right, okay.
The client has survived, suffering major injuries, has survived. So a happy ending of sorts.
How was the object removed? Presumably they had to operate in the chest cavity to remove the foreign object.
I'm imagining with considerable difficulty and skill it was removed.
I imagine any joy from the object was now well and truly negated.
And my client is suing the sex toy company, as previously mentioned, because when she bought said sex toy, it was advertised as 100% silicon.
Right.
Of course, if it had been 100% silicon, then we wouldn't have had the rocketing, quotes, anal railgun effect. I should just put forward, because that's kind of the client's prosecution of the sex toy company. There is a legal defense I should just ask the judge to consider, which is something along the lines of fair use or expectation of use, which is asking yourself, are the sex toy company expected to assume their customers will attend an MRI appointment whilst wearing their merchandise?
Is there any more evidence to put forth, or do I have all the evidence now available to make my decision?
We have an argument of false advertising versus a defence of reasonable use. I think that's pretty much this disgusting story in a nutshell.
Well, it's, I find this a very difficult case because one would imagine, and I'm no expert on these matters, can I make that very clear to the court? Foreign objects have very rarely entered my body. I would just like to say that I think it would be perfectly reasonable to expect the users of these particular objects to remove them before going for any kind of medical procedure. On the other hand, I can see the argument that if you feel that the object isn't going to impede an MRI scan and you've been sold the object on the belief that it is non-metallic in any way, shape or form, that you would therefore feel more than comfortable to wear it. So it's a very difficult one for me to judge on this particular occasion, but I think I'm going to find in favour of the company who made the object in the first place because, frankly, the woman is as thick as shit.
Who on earth? I mean, I know there are some kinky people out there, but when you're going for one of these scans in one of these big machines, what goes through? I mean, that's not... When you're going for a hospital appointment, that's probably the least sexy you can feel. I mean, who leaves the house thinking, right, wallet, phone, keys, butt plug, got you, ready to go? What maniac is this?
I don't know what's going through their minds, Ben. As I say, I think just absolute stupidity.
I mean, if that's what gets your rocks off, that is a particularly unusual kink. I like going to hospital scans with something up my backside. That's a weird one.
The court is adjourned. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. As always, before we go, I've got one recommendation for you this week.
What have you got?
I don't see many films. I think, oh, I really want to see that. But there's a film I've been wanting to see for ages, but I've been... I could have bought it on Sky for £12 something, but I refused to be drawn into that game.
Good for you.
Because in this day and age, if you wait long enough, it will appear, as it has now on Netflix. It's Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Right. Is this the all-female cast?
No. You see, the all-female cast Ghostbusters, I've seen that. It's a perfectly good film, but I didn't like it.
Can I just say back what you just said without the sort of bullshit filter on it?
Yeah, yeah, go on.
The female remake of Ghostbusters. I'm not a sexist.
No.
But it was shit.
No, it's got nothing to do with the cast. I think the problem was with the way they did the film, because it was kind of a reboot. There was no mention of the original Ghostbusters. I thought with that film, because the cast was very good in that film, Melissa McCarthy, I like Melissa McCarthy. I've got a little bit of a crush on Melissa McCarthy. She's a bit of one of those secret little crushes. Ooh. Yeah, and I couldn't tell you who else is in it, but she's in it. Right? But the other cast were good. But it was a complete sort of reset. It was like starting afresh, the Ghostbusters now set up by this group of women. I think it would have been better had they brought the story on from the original, and it's now being run by the group of women who were all very good in their roles. But I just didn't like the way they set that up. But Afterlife is picking up the story years after the original, where the Ghostbusters, they no longer exist, but the grandchildren of one of them finds the Ghostbusters paraphernalia, and then the whole story kicks on.
Do they even acknowledge the women in this?
No, because everyone knows it was dreadful. I mean, everyone knows it was dreadful. Everyone knew that the concept for that film was completely wrong. So everyone who loves... I love Ghostbusters, right? When I was a kid, I absolutely loved Ghostbusters. Me and my friend, every Monday night after school, between probably about 1986 and 1989, we were Ghostbusters. And I had... We put rucksacks on. They were like our packs. And I had a little box that was like the trap, and we'd just go around collecting imaginary ghosts. And I just love Ghostbusters. And what I loved about this film, I'm terrible these days. It's one of the things about getting older, is I find it very hard to get into a movie. And even at the start of this, I was thinking, oh, I don't know. I don't know about this. And by about halfway, I was in hook, line and sinker. And then when the original cast appear, oh, it brings it all back. And I have to say, the ending, and I won't give anything away here apart from it made me cry a little bit.
Oh,
it's very moving. Very moving, the ending. And I think it is the best film that I've seen in quite some time. I mean, I've seen good films, but of that sort of fantasy genre. The genre, Ben. I highly recommend it. So, yeah, even if you're not a Ghostbuster, go and watch the original Ghostbusters. Forget the female one. You can watch that anytime. Watch the two original. You don't even need to see the second one. Watch the original first film and then watch this. That'll be enough to satisfy any Ghostbusters need.
Excellent stuff. Very good. I've just got one quick recommendation myself. I have pride of place in my audio collection, all of the back catalogue of the Ricky Gervais Show from when he used to be on XFM with Carl Pilkington and Steve Merchant.
Yes.
I must know it word for word at this point. However, to my great pleasure, I found that it's all on Spotify.
Is it?
So if you've got Spotify and you just search Ricky Gervais XFM, it would help if you're a massive Ricky Gervais fan like I am, and then you can find all of the back catalogue and some extra little never-before-heard bits, rare clips and all this sort of stuff. It's all there, which makes me feel very happy, because if I ever break that disc I've got somewhere buried away, then I've always got a backup now online, which I love.
Well, so that's really exciting, because I have no longer got to, at my fingertips, all the XFM stuff. I've got all the podcasts that they did and the guide twos, but you gave me all the XFM stuff, again, on a disc that is in a drawer somewhere in the house. But I haven't had it at my fingertips for ages. And yeah, to know that it's out there, I can now go back and review it, because a lot of it I would have now forgotten. It's been a long time. So that is very good news.
It was one of the first things I ever gave to you, I think. It was when we first started recording. I asked you, are you a fan of Ricky Gervais? And you said yes. And you listened to all the audio stuff. And then I, like a attorney, like a hotshot lawyer that I am now from earlier on in our podcast.
I
wheedled out of you that you'd only listened to the guide twos, the official podcast bits. You hadn't got all the radio stuff. And I blessed you with hundreds of hours of absolute drivel, but Ricky Gervais drivel nonetheless.
Yeah, no, it's if you like Ricky Gervais and Carl Pilkington, I think you don't even listen to it for Ricky Gervais, you listen to it for Carl Pilkington.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. You've got hours and hours of it at your fingertips, all on Spotify. Just search Ricky Gervais XFM, all there for you.
That's great news. Well, there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. You can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.